This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars. One of the missions of 99PI is to give you the tools to decode the built world in cities, in the country, and the highways in between. It's those highways and the truckers that drive the American economy that is the subject of the new Radiotopia show called Over the Road. The podcast is a window into a world that you pass by at 65 miles an hour without giving much thought. But it is so fascinating, you will never see a semi-truck the same way again. Every 99PI Beautiful Marriage should subscribe. It is right up your alley. Here's the first episode of Over the Road, hosted by Long Haul Paul.
4 years ago, I was northbound on I-75 in Knoxville, Tennessee. My cargo? A load of imported watermelons. They had sailed on a container ship from Guatemala to South Florida, where they were transferred by forklift onto big trucks driven by folks like me. These were those tiny, seedless, designer types they call personal watermelons. I always wondered about the marketing cat who came up with that one. Personal watermelons. It's like a watermelon you can have as a friend. I was pulling a refrigerated trailer back then. A reefer, as we call them. A reefer is a heavily insulated box trailer equipped with a giant diesel-powered temperature control unit. It's actually got the capacity to maintain more than 40,000 pounds of perishable freight at temperatures as cold as 20 below. It was rush hour in Knoxville, or K-Town in trucker code. Traffic came to a screeching halt at the junction of I-75 and I-640. I got stopped in time, but the trucker behind me, well, not so much. Boom! Shoot! Rear-ended. I took a minute to collect myself and walked to the back of the trailer to check first on the other driver. He said he was okay. Then I opened the vent hatch to check my load. What seconds before had been a perfectly picked personal watermelon was now prolapsing through its ruptured rind down the crumpled exterior of what had once been the trailer's stainless steel door and on to my trembling hand. Sorry, friend. Unbeknownst to me at the time, this baptism in the puree of a personal watermelon would come to be my own creative big bang. Strangely, as a result of this event, I would come to be a part-time recording artist, a contributor for Overdrive magazine, and now even a card-carrying, podcast-producing Radiotopian. I'm Long Haul Paul. You're listening to Over the Road.
I got that Lucille from Mobile. Come on, baby. Let's truck it up. Do it, baby.
Now I'm on the top of this mountain, and I know I still got to get down the other side somehow. And I'm so scared, I'm shaking.
But I know quite a few drivers that swear by roasting salmon over their engine.
We were willing to take a pot-bellied pig. We tried to even pick up a 60-pound tortoise.
You know, a lot of people say, times are changing, it ain't that way anymore. But why shouldn't it be that way?
Here's how this is going to work. We've been traveling all over the country, down the highways and the hedges, collecting the real stories of real people who live and work over the road. We've got 8 episodes for you. In each one, we explore how trucking is changing today. And along the way, I'll tell you a few of my own stories. Heck, I might even sing you a few songs. Let's start out at a place called the Kentucky Expo Center in Louisville, home to the Mid-America Trucking Show, or MATS for short. Think of a Home Depot about 12 times its normal size, then fill it with trucks, truck drivers, and every possible thing anyone has ever thought of to make a buck off a trucker.
It's an automatic snow chain system. It works good.
So what we're selling is bed bug heaters for truckers that have cabs.
Throw in 90,000 people with some concerts and swag, and you've got the Mid-America Trucking Show. You've got your air freshener dudes.
Odor eliminator products for the highway professionals.
I love those guys.
We say three sprays last for days.
Tell me about this beef jerky.
You've got those old boys who make the beef jerky.
It's the most tender beef jerky you'll ever eat. Feel that.
That's really tender.
I actually love those guys, too.
Oh, we are an insurance and company that specializes in owner-operators.
They're the international vendors hoping to land that big contract.
Supply shock and sober.
Big truck makers are here, like Kenworth and Peterbilt.
We have our new 579 Ultraloft in its blackout.
Also model truck makers.
I'm proud to tell people I can't afford a real one, but I can hook you up with a real nice toy one.
But for many long-time gear jammers, that signifies something more. It's a hobo convention of sorts. A chance to see old trucking buddies and to swap stories. And that's why we're here. If you want to know what's going on in the trucking world, this is a good place to start. But first, let's cover some basics. There are 4.2 million Americans who hold a CDL. That's a commercial driver's license. A CDL allows us to drive a vehicle weighing over 26,000 pounds. Together, we move 70% of all domestic freight. Think of it. Everything you see at the store, everything you buy online, moves by truck at some point. Add it all up, we're talking about a $700 billion industry, moving literally 55 billion pounds of stuff every day. At that rate, American truckers could haul off the Great Pyramid of Giza, stone by stone, about five times a day. Of course, there are lots of different types of truckers and trucks out there.
Refrigerated freight truck, they call them reefer trucks.
You know, like what I drive.
Flatbeds, we should call them skateboards.
Those big flat trailers with loads of lumber and steel.
Car haulers, they call them parking lots.
Bed bugger is a furniture hauler.
A tanker truck, we call a tanker yanker. I drive one of those sometimes, too.
Trucks that haul bull, they call them bull haulers.
I mean, there's all kinds of terminology for them.
As you can imagine, we have our own factions, cliques, and hierarchies. Flatbedders don't usually associate with the reefer guys like me, and the bull haulers could never see themselves as freight haulers, or door swingers as they call them, because all a door swinger does is back up to the dock and swing the doors open and shut. Or so they say. But here, for 3 days at least, none of that matters. We're all just drivers, and not a one of us came here to have a bad time.
Volvo Dynamic Steering with Stability Assist is a new innovation from Volvo Trucks.
A lot of the talk at Matt's this year is about new technology.
When a truck starts to skid,
it seems every part of the truck has got a computer in it now.
The suspension seat is turned on.
Even the seat.
Notice how much of the bouncing is eliminated by the active suspension seat's computer-controlled motor.
And there's a feeling the technology is not just changing the truck, but it's changing us and the way we do business. That the codes and culture of trucking are eroding before our eyes.
I think we met, or just real briefly.
I bump into a Facebook friend on the show floor named Greg Murphy, who now works for Uber.
Threw in a resume, and I figured, oh, this is never going to happen.
Yes, the rideshare company, Uber.
And here I am.
Now, Greg, you have a unique story because you are
a longtime truck driver.
Right, exactly.
Who has become like the public relations liaison for Uber. Is that
exactly kind of the interpreter, I would call it, between the trucking community and Uber Freight?
Greg is affable, middle-aged, with a salt and pepper beard and a cool fedora.
More truck driver than computer person, that's for sure.
All around him is a veritable phalanx of Uber's black-shirted millennials. But Greg speaks fluent trucker, and so he pulls out his phone and shows me...
Okay.
Another middle-aged guy in yet another fedora.
So here it is, it opens up.
How to use the Uber Freight app.
And it knows that I'm in Louisville today, so now it's thinking about it. And so it has these little cards for each load, right?
So instead of connecting cars with riders, Uber Freight is connecting trucks with loads.
So read that off to us, Greg, if you would.
So this one is from Walton, Kentucky to Los Alamos, California for $3,070.
That's the price for this load.
It's 1,800 miles. It has what type of trailer, the load number and all that, what it is, the weight.
All I have to do is tap that card, and the load is mine. No phone calls, no haggling.
Technology's coming, and it's we need to embrace it and be part of the conversation.
I have to wonder, though, at $3,000 on a stated distance of 1,800 miles, doesn't no haggle simply mean take it or leave it? You have no choice.
I'm going to just confess to you, there is a primal fear about the power of a company like this.
Well, I think change overall is just difficult for people to embrace. It's unfamiliar. We don't know what it's going to look like, and that creates anxiety.
That said, truckers are embracing new technology and using it for their own benefit.
You've got quite a hat collection.
Well, way back when, I gave myself heat stroke by being stupid.
Take Sandra Goshi.
Basically, you tell them how the people treated you, if you were professional, if there was a bathroom that you could use, because there's a lot of places that don't allow truckers to use their bathroom.
She's telling me about Dock 411. It's a rating app, basically like Yelp for loading docks.
You kind of help the trucker after you or the person after you.
They've surveyed over 10,000 truckers about their experiences. Sandra here is Dock 411's number one reviewer.
If they have forklifts, that you use forklifts. What are some of the other attributes, Stephen, that you can think of?
If there's overnight parking, if you can sleep there in the overnight parking.
Sandra drives as a team with her husband, Stephen.
Professionalism, how you were treated professional. If I was to read the review that I put in for this one dock, I would never take freight into this dock. We went in there the first time and we waited 3 hours to get unloaded, which that's okay. Second time we went in there, we waited 13 hours. No bathrooms, no facilities, and couldn't leave the truck.
Reviews like that are added up and turned into a scorecard for every dock they do business with.
Dock 411, it's one of those things that it's like, it's never going to be complete because there's always going to be new docks. But it's going to be a big relief to all us truckers.
But there's still another technology on truckers' minds at Matt's this year.
Right now, that e-log.
Something much more consequential than a new app.
The electronic log situation has become a pretty big issue.
It's called an ELD.
The new ELD mandate has
electronic logging device.
Still didn't need an e-log
versus an e-log. I mean, most of the time
we didn't have e-logs.
That's the biggest thing.
Take this e-log and sure, it ain't riding with me no more.
This e-log issue is all playing out right now, and it's pretty much the biggest change that's come to our culture, at least since I started trucking.
It ain't riding with me no more.
Hundreds of big rigs took over Highway 99 in protest today, creating a show.
Some truckers have even put on protests about ELDs.
Right here, guys. 95 southbound is shut down.
It's one of those things that just keeps coming up in our conversations with drivers. So on our first day at Matt's, we find ourselves at the vintage maroon Peterbilt.
Down, I guess that'll work. Is that all right?
of someone who's been at the center of so much of the protest.
Yeah, so my name's Mike Landis from Lititz, Pennsylvania, a little Amish country town in Lancaster County. I got into trucking right out of high school, pretty much. I got my CDL after I graduated. First time I got behind the wheel at the driving school at the local Votech, it was all downhill from there.
E-logs are all about how truckers record their driving and working hours.
So yeah, we have what they call our hours of service, which is once you come on duty, you're allowed 14 hours of working time. 11 of that 14 can be driving, but then you have to take 10 hours off before you can go back to work.
So every day you get 14 hours on duty and you have to take 10 hours off.
Problem with that is that once you start your day, your clock for the day doesn't stop.
Now, in the past, those hours were recorded in paper logbooks. Every driver kept a set of books in the cab, recorded their time with a pen on a four-line grid, and made that log available to inspectors and state patrol. Basically, you regulated yourself.
So to me, that's important because I was taught the old way of trucking. You know, you do what you got to do to get the job done, but you sleep when you're tired and, you know, you truck when you're awake.
If you took a quick nap in your shift or ran a little over the time limit, you could juggle that. Clerically, I mean.
You don't turn into a zombie just because you're 5 minutes past your time and fall asleep and drive off the side of the road.
That is, you could juggle it until the electronic logging device.
And basically what that does is it hooks into the computer on the motor of the truck and it records everything you do. You know, how hard you're on the throttle, how hard you're on the brake, if you're moving, if you're stopped, your speed, the whole nine yards. It counts down every second of your day. So whereas before on a paper logbook, if you're 5 minutes past your time point in the truck stop, nobody knew the difference, no harm, no foul. But now, I mean, I've seen people backed halfway in a parking spot in truck stops already because if they finish backing up, their ELD is going to put them in violation to go another 50 feet and back the truck up into a parking spot.
Yeah, you hear stories like this all the time. Trucks beached like whales in the most god-awful places because their drivers ran out of hours. You've probably seen those trucks yourself. That's because in December 2017, a new mandate came into effect requiring virtually all trucks on the road to run an electronic log.
And to me, it's a slap in the face. Driving a truck at 18 years old, I'm now 33, closing in on 2 million miles, and I have a clean driving record. To me, that all comes down to the way I was taught. That comes down to the responsibility of knowing you're operating an 80,000-pound machine. The fact that they're going to tell me that I need this thing in my truck to keep me safe on the road doesn't sit well with me at all.
No, I hear you loud and clear. We do these Ohio, Texas, Florida triangles a lot. Denise's stepmother is dying. She's in a Louisiana nursing home, and we want to see her. She's days away from dying, literally days away from dying. And I'm on an ELD. We stop to see her, and essentially, we've got to say our goodbyes to her in about 45 minutes because our 14-hour clock is ticking. And I just have this moment of complete clarity that something's got to give.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that will say, hey, that's not true. They don't force you to drive tired. They don't force you to not take a shower, yada, yada, yada. Well, I mean, you're right. The thing doesn't reach up and grab me and tell me I need to keep trucking. But the sad reality is they kind of do.
Now, I should say here that Mike does not run an e-log.
The reason my truck don't need one is because the cutoff date is 2000 and newer need them, and 99 and older do not.
So his 99 Peterbilt is just too old to connect to a computer. But Mike has done more than just avoid the new regulation. He's actually fighting it.
So we started the United States Transportation Alliance. And the unique thing about us is that all of us are drivers that met through doing protest type stuff, you know, for the industry. And nobody out here that is making these rules or regulations or pushing for rules or regulations have ever sat behind the wheel for any amount of time, and definitely not any time recently. So, you know, when we go to DC, and we go every month right now, you know, we park our trucks, we meet with congressmen and senators and FMCSA.
That's the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration.
Truckload carriers, we've met with the Teamsters. So it's been a pretty good thing, and we were fortunate enough to help with the hours of service that are supposed to be changed. I'm actually expecting an announcement here at MATS for that.
In fact, the keynote speaker for the weekend is none other than Elaine Chao, the United States Secretary of Transportation.
So we're hoping that it has to do something with that. I realize things change with the times and technology goes and this and that and the other thing, but trucking's still trucking. And I chose to drive a truck because I grew up around trucks and I love trucks. And for me, you know, it sounds kind of corny, but the other week I was invited to a concert by someone that we know, backstage and stuff. And afterwards we were hanging out and like watching this guy up on stage, you could tell he was just in his zone. And I said, the best way I could describe watching you on stage is like me riding across the California or Arizona desert with a truck pressed out and the moon lit and the chicken lights on and just pipes singing and cruising. And some people are like, what? I don't get it. You're just driving a truck down the road. And I'm like, yeah, but to me, it's more than just driving a truck down the road. You know, it's the freedom of it. And that's kind of being taken away is what the bad part is. You know, if we don't do anything to help fight this stuff, guys like me are going to be gone.
After the break, we'll hear that big announcement from Elaine Chao. But first, we venture out onto the parking lot at MATS. We'll hear why this e-log thing is such a big deal, and I'll tell you what gave for me, and how ELDs led, at least indirectly, to the making of this podcast.
You're listening to Over the Road on 99% Invisible. Here again is Over the Road.
Hey folks, Todd Dills here. I'm the senior editor with Overdrive Magazine, which is helping to produce this podcast. For those of you who are new to this trucking world, Overdrive is basically a trade publication for independent truckers, the ones who own the rigs they haul with. For many years, we've called ourselves the voice of the American trucker, and so part of what we wanted to do with this podcast was to actually build a little bridge between the highway haulers who read Overdrive and, well, the uninitiated among you. So I'm going to be hosting a special series of mini episodes where I'll take questions from those of you outside the business and put them directly to our trucking listeners. We're calling it the Channel 19 Special, after the CB radio channel used for trucker-to-trucker information sharing. The first Channel 19 episode will show up in your feed next week, but I'm dropping in now to ask a quick favor. If you've got questions about trucking, seriously, about anything at all having to do with it, no question is too simple or too strange. Give us a call at 765-245-4844 and leave us a message. Again, 765-245-4844. Be sure to state your name and location with your question. And thanks.
Okay, so back to the Mid-America Trucking Show. I want to pick things up the next morning outside in the parking lot where drivers are busy polishing their trucks.
I love trucking, though. It's a lifestyle. It's not a job. It's a lifestyle.
There are actually two parking lots of trucks at MATS, each with its own vibe. There's the show lot and the Papa John's lot. We'll explain why it's called that in a minute. But the show lot is home to the Paul K. Young Truck Beauty Championship. And that's where we start our day.
My name's Devery Jones. I'm working on excessive behavior number one.
My name is Eric Turner. Name of my truck is Showtime.
You got your boost pressure down here for your turbo.
No, you want to check out my scrapbook? Check this out.
This is a place where trucks have names.
The Goose is a 1996 Freightliner Classic XL.
It's just part of the family.
The Goose is my big girl. Phyllis is my little girl.
They're festooned with those little amber bulbs we call chicken lights.
Every truck driver wants chicken lights, and they want chrome.
White carpeting, wood floors.
It's actually just a wooden floor that you get it from a Home Depot.
Really?
Yes, sir.
For the competition itself, trucks are organized into different sections, marked off with plastic ropes. There are categories like antique custom, limited mileage bobtail,
working class bobtail,
and working combo,
meaning I put miles on my truck.
My favorite, the antique original.
I cut my teeth on one of these trucks. This is a Transtar International. There's nothing like the AM radio reception on an all-steel-made, old-school Western Star.
There are teams who work an entire year to prep a truck for this show.
I've seen guys polish on it for a day and a half, and they're still rubbing now.
You gotta live it, love it, breathe it, bleed it.
If you believe, as I do, that a truck can be a work of art, then this is the Guggenheim.
There's a lot of history there. A lot of our life has been spent in it, under it, over it. Everything a squirrel can do to a tree, we've done to this truck.
How much would you have for this truck right now?
$200,000.
What sort of installment plan would you consider?
No, we couldn't do that.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
As we leave the show lot, I know that $200,000 Peterbilt will never be mined. Let's face it, I'm more of a Papa John's type.
Ah, very nice.
This lot serves the University of Louisville football stadium, formerly known as the Papa John's Stadium. The university dropped that name after the pizza magnate found himself in hot water. But for truckers, the shorthand stuck. In any case, picture a stadium parking lot with rows upon rows of tractor trailers. Only thing is, these aren't show trucks. These are just the trucks people drove here to attend mass.
You're not going to put you in jail, but is that the one with the shoestrings on the steering wheel?
Oh, no.
What's the statute of limitations on?
They're all out here now with their camping chairs, gas grills, and coolers, walking their dogs in the Kentucky spring air.
Long haul, Paul, and a milk run.
It's maybe the biggest tailgate in all of trucking. Big enough that you can actually lose your truck in it.
You a full-time journalist now, or what?
At the show lot, I didn't see a single person I knew. But down here in steerage, it's different.
How you doing, Debbie? Now, I'm digging that new chrome bumper.
I won't tell you what happened to the last one.
Was it a deer?
No, it was a fence.
A fence. Well, I remember
a fence
that.
Jumped out at me.
Can we record? You know what no problems be. Eyes in the back of my head. Later that night, there's even an impromptu concert.
Matt, let's get back to it now.
And guess who gets invited to sing?
Have we got any flatbedders out there? Any flatbedders? Okay, great.
Yeah, and yet another side gig. I'm a singer-songwriter.
Well, we had a friend. He fell deeply in love with a female flatbedder. But when she learned that he pulled a reefer, she rejected him because he didn't know how, you know, the chains and the binders. And it's called I'll Never Run That Back Door Anymore. Well, she dollied down and dropped me, Lord. Left me like a NASCAR Ford. Took her tin and put it in the wind. Said she couldn't live with the guilt of what we done in that Peterbilt. And I'll never run that back door again.
In a way, concerts like this are a reenactment of a bygone age, when drivers would be laid over at some truck stop. Someone would bring out a grill. Someone would contribute a case of beer. Someone might commandeer a chicken or two off their load. and someone, I just have a guitar.
She said, Paul, it ain't no use. You're a door swinger, and I ain't gonna live this life.
Maybe that's why this E-Log thing is such a big deal. Because there just doesn't seem to be time for those encounters anymore. And maybe that's why I still come back here, to hear the stories that seduced me into this life so long ago.
Yeah, I started driving in 88, hauling out of Mississippi Furniture.
That same night, we talked to a guy named Tim.
And they will tell you right quick, like, if you cannot turn 5,000 miles a week, we don't need you. We've got a stack of applications over here this thick. We can replace you tomorrow. And, of course, then you take dope. You know, I would take a gram of good crank dope, and I would do a line every 300 or 400 miles.
And for some, there really was this dark side to the old days. I mean, taking whatever drugs you could take to stay awake. Stories like this of trucking's wilder days really aren't that hard to come by around here.
We would stop exit 30 in Tennessee, exit 200 in Virginia.
And for some reason, now, which is exit, more than ever, I think, we've been herded onto the digital reservation of the E-Log. It's like we have to tell these stories.
I remember one time, I went all the way to Boston. I'm trying to get through traffic, trying to get back. Massachusetts State Police pulls me over. He pats my pockets. I had on cargo pants. The bottle was down at the bottom of it. He missed it. I could have got years in the penitentiary then. So I go on down to the rest area in Rhode Island, and I celebrate, and I do me two lines of dope just to get on back. But then it wasn't to get high, it was to do a job.
It was for your work. It wasn't recreational. It's
turning miles, turning burn, man.
How'd you get off of that stuff?
There's three ways you get off a crank. Meth. Jail, the grave, or Jesus. I was in Amarillo, and I'd been up two or three days, and I prayed, God, you know, help me. And he spoke to me. And he said, it's up to you. It was through the grace of God that I got off of it.
So, you're off the crank.
Yes.
You've prayed, God's intervened. What do you tell your boss that needs 5,000 miles a week out from you?
Tell him I can't do it no more. I work for myself. I'm an owner-operator now.
You're an owner-operator now.
Thank God he delivered me from that aspect, too. Now, I work when I want to. Thank God I've been delivered.
If I leave here tomorrow.
I got my first ELD back in 2016. A few months after that watermelon wreck I told you about in Knoxville, the fleet I worked for announced that we would roll out an E-Log pilot program. Guinea pigs were needed. Something about Knoxville jarred me more than it should have. For years, I had pushed myself to the limit as a produce hauler and had never been bothered by the what-ifs. But after Knoxville, it just seemed like my nine lives were up. At that time, the E-Log felt like kind of a way out of all that. So I let Brenda, our safety officer, know I would give it a try. Yep, that's right, folks. I volunteered. When the day came, they trained me on how to operate the E-Log, which recorded the truck's data straight onto a basic Samsung tablet. The company told me not to go crazy on Netflix, and off I went. Since I was now carting around this brand new tablet, I started recording some of my songs and posting them on YouTube.
This song came to me in a dream. It was something like this.
I also began writing about my experience of being an old trucker who had to make the E-Log switch. I mostly did this as a cathartic exercise, but on a whim, I sent some of these ramblings to an editor at Overdrive Magazine named Todd Dills. You heard from Todd earlier. Todd wound up giving me a shot on his blog, now on this podcast. So at the risk of being shunned by all my trucker friends, I have to say, in a way, I owe all this to E-Logs.
Children, let me tell you about life's greatest sin. It's rolling down the road thinking what you could have been with your shoebox of songs, just pushing that tin so you can eat, sleep, and die.
But enough about me. All weekend, drivers are waiting for that big update that Mike was telling us about on the new rules for E-Logs, what we call hours of service.
Yeah, we've had a few people sign up to be members and stuff so far while we've been
Mike
here.
Landis even has a booth set up on the showroom floor of Matt's.
Dropped a couple $1,000 out of my own company to build the booth, and we trucked it here and stuff.
He's got
that.
A whole crew here, dressed in their matching black shirts.
You know, to get the word out there and show people who we are and what we're doing, and what better place to do it where there's thousands of truck drivers at one spot, you know?
It's been a year now since the ELD mandate went into effect, and we're all feeling it in one way or the other. So we sit through long seminars by government administrators.
That's really kind of what we had. I'm just going to very briefly mention...
But no news.
Well, I don't think we have any more time to put...
Then on our last day at Matt's, Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao gets up to give us the keynote address. If the DOT has something to say, this would be the time. But right away, the power goes out.
Okay, just speak a little louder. We can all hear you.
Eventually,
oh my gosh, so
the power comes back. And she gets to what we're all waiting to hear.
So I'm pleased to announce today that the department is moving forward with the next step, which is a notice of proposed rulemaking regarding hours of service rules. So I can't go into the details, but let me note that the department understands.
Still nothing. No news.
Increasing flexibility and is giving it serious consideration.
Just then,
the department looks forward.
An alarm sounds. Someone trying to tell us something?
They don't want to let me tell you this good news. I think they're not worried. I'm not worried.
Instead, the speech turns to the usual platitudes.
You are the lifeblood of what makes our commerce work.
I'm so tired of that line.
You enable bread to appear on our grocery shelves.
Blah, blah, blah.
Work, and we want to thank you for it. America will come to a...
And without really saying much of anything at all, Elaine Chao bids us all farewell.
Easier for the rest of us. Thank you so much.
America Trucking Show closed the next day. The show trucks drove out in formation while the Papa John's lot gradually disbanded. Matt's was done, but we're just getting started. We're going to keep following this ELD issue across the series. We'll hear how Mike Landis brought his fight to the streets of Washington, D.C. and found unlikely allies in the process. For some context, we'll go deep into the history of trucking with one of my favorite writers. We'll hang out at truck stops and meet the families of truckers to understand how this business affects the people around us. And we'll peer into a future where the trucks may just drive themselves. But first, we're going to Grand Island, Nebraska to find out why anyone would want to drive a truck in the first place.
I was intrigued, and so I called her up and I said, now come again about this truck driving. Now, what did you say?
Thanks to everyone who entrusted us with their stories. We'll catch you again over the road.
Mama said to me, son, you know you can become whatever you want to be. So by my old grizzled brow, it hurts me somehow for her to see what became of me. See, at 19 years old, I was restless and bold when the highway called me one day. Now it's down in my blood and it rolls like a flood and it takes everything in its way. Now I'm working over the road,
over the road,
working over the road.
It takes a lot of people to make a podcast, and I'm going to tell you about all of them. Our Over the Road pit crew includes producer and sound designer Ian Koss and contributing producer Lacey Roberts at Transmitter Media. Our editor for Overdrive Magazine is Todd Dills. Our digital producer is Aaron Wade. Our project manager is Audrey Martovich. And our executive producer for Radiotopia is Julie Shapiro. I'm Long Haul Paul. All the music on the show is by Ian Koss and myself, featuring performances by Travis the Snake Man Womack, Terry Two Socks Richardson, the late great Roger Clark, Jan Gullett, Jim Whitehead, and Andrew Marshall. Additional engineering by Donnie Gullett in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. Special thanks to these drivers and vendors whose voices you heard throughout. J.D. Howard of the Ohio Great Lakes Regions, Atlanta-based small fleet owner-operator Eric Turner, Daniel and Phyllis Snow of the Goose Freightliner Classic, Chad Boblett from Kentucky Horse Country, Robert Palm, creator of TruckersFinalMile.org, Christopher Burnett of Burnett Farm Toys, and Debbie Dingo Deserado. We also heard from Devray Jones, Jason Earlywine, James Raines, Bubba Davis, fellow singing truckers Brad James, Taylor Barker, and the Jake Brake Junkie himself, Terrence Mathis. Over the Road is made possible by support from the folks I've worked for a really long time. Moeller Trucking, now celebrating over 30 years of safe and reliable transportation for the food industry. For more information, check out MoellerTrucking.com. Over the Road is a collaboration between Overdrive Magazine and PRX's Radiotopia, a collection of the best independent podcasts around. I've turned a lot of overnight reefer loads listening to shows like The Memory Palace and Criminal. Seriously, find out more about the whole network at radiotopia.fm. Look for Overdrive Magazine at overdriveonline.com. Or you can read Todd's Channel 19 blog, hear the Overdrive Radio podcast, and explore more about trucking. You can find Over the Road online at overtheroad.fm. Be sure to follow us on all those usual platforms, too. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Over the Road Pod. You can see some of my videos on YouTube by looking for Long Haul Paul Music. Thanks for listening. Hanging in till the end of the run. We'll be back next week with a Channel 19 special, then in 2 weeks with more stories from Over the Road.
Well, the road knows her own hear a call. Some they would follow, some they would fall. Some they would squander their souls in the sand by the sweat of their brow, the dirt of their hands working over the road. Over the road, working over the road. Over the road, working over the road. Over the road, over the road, over the road.
It's like a watermelon you can have as a friend. It's like a watermelon you can have as a friend. You can have as a friend. You can have as a friend.
No, no, that's way.
You can have as a friend.
No, 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 no.
A watermelon you can have as a friend.
Radiotopia.